Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everybody. Cheryl Akison here. Welcome to another edition of Full Measure After Hours. Today, we dig deep into a fascinating and divisive case about critical race theory. On this week's edition of Full Measure, I decided to tackle a very controversial topic, critical race theory. I've been thinking about it for a long time, ever since there's been so much coverage on the news. Obviously very divisive, very political, and there are a lot of ways you can tackle a story like that. I didn't want to do it really in a political sense, with looking at the politics behind it. So much of that is already being done. I decided not to do a whole piece on the origins, where did it really start? But instead, I decided to look at a specific case in Loudoun County, Virginia. You've probably heard about that a little bit on the news. It's one of the places where this has really reached a fever pitch in terms of the controversies. And we're not even going to debate in the story whether critical race theory is being taught, whether it should be taught. A lot of that's also going on. You've already seen that on the news, trying to do something a little bit different. Instead, you'll hear both sides in a debate in a place that kind of seems an unlikely place as a hotspot over critical race theory, Loudoun County, Virginia. And I learned something I thought was pretty interesting. I have not dug deeply into the George Soros rabbit hole, the notion that this liberal philanthropist and activist who's spent billions and billions of dollars around the world for progressive causes, the idea that he is somehow pulling strings everywhere. But I did learn that that comes into play in a way in the Loudoun County debate. This is a county that I think traditionally had long been a red or Republican county, but is really in a transition period. The school board there was flipped from Republican to Democrat not long ago, and some key officials switched out from Republican to Democrat in recent elections, including the Commonwealth Attorney. I think that's called like the state's attorney in some other places. Well, that person figures into this debate in a way that you'll see in the story Sunday on Full Measure. And that person was largely put into office by funding almost exclusively from George Soros organizations. And I learned, some of you may already know this, that that happened. It's not just a conspiracy theory. In numerous places where big Soros money coming from out of town put key officials into office. And as this tone has changed in a county that used to be more Republican in terms of their public officials, of course, there are different priorities and agendas. And this critical race theory discussion has really boiled over there. It kind of came to light, I think it was happening a little bit under the table, but came to light amid a controversy that came about the same time as you may have seen on the news. A video was circulated online that showed an advanced high school class taking place on Zoom because of COVID that was recorded, in which a teacher showed a photograph of a black student and a white student, girls, and asked the students in the class to describe what they saw. And when one student refused to say he saw them as black and white and simply said he saw them as two people chilling, this teacher almost berated the student and tried to force him to say that he saw that these students were different because of race. And the student countered with the idea that doesn't that really play into the notion of seeing people only as race and not as who they are? And in a way, those two philosophies we saw in this videotape or this tape that was leaked out, that kind of sums up the critical race theory debate as far as I can tell. Critical race theory teaches and wants people to look at race, sometimes almost exclusively, in determining a lot of factors as to how things should work and how things should be. whereas the other side tends to be more along the lines of the Martin Luther King Jr. school of thought. Do not look at people on the basis of their race, but the content of their character. And that's really clashing in a big way in a lot of places. And some of the controversy is, well, are we officially teaching critical race theory in schools? No, we're not. But then you learn that the teachers, as in this video that was distributed that I'm referring to, they're using critical race theory thought and tactics in their classrooms. So it may be true that it's not part of the official curriculum, but they're getting training in how to work and incorporate this into their classroom teachings, and that's become very controversial. A few interesting demographic points about Loudoun County. It is, year after year, considered the wealthiest county in the United States. And over time, it has become, in very large part, a minority-rich population. In fact, the school officials in Loudoun County told me that there are more minorities cumulatively than whites in schools. Outside of school for the county at large, I believe the white population is something like 54%, so minorities number close to half. Interestingly, we're not talking about blacks. The black population is not huge in Loudoun County. It's primarily Asian and Hispanic when we're talking about minorities. In the podcast today, you're going to hear from two people I interviewed for the story. I won't say they're exactly on different sides because the sheriff, Mike Chapman in Loudoun County, didn't take a side, although he's probably one of the last or only Republicans left in Loudoun County in elective office. But he was tasked with a criminal investigation that involved critical race theory. You'll hear about why that is. Maybe the only criminal investigation involving criminal race theory, certainly the only one I found in the United States. Very interesting case, part of why I profiled it. And then after that, you will hear from the school board superintendent, Dr. Scott Ziegler. Now, he is not personally responsible for or does not control the behavior of the elected school board members, but of course he speaks for the school system. And you'll get to hear his side as I ask him about his thoughts on critical race theory and some of the controversies surrounding school board members. So first, you're going to hear from Sheriff Mike Chapman. Before we go into some details of this investigation, if people are not familiar at all with what's been going on here in Loudoun County when it comes to this whole dispute, what would you say it's the story of if you were writing like the flap cover on a book about it or something?
Well, I would say it's a story of, it's interesting because it's been all over the news, national news. I think we're ground zero on this particular story. But what it has to do is with what's going on with in the educational system here in Loudoun County and the resistance to what is being taught in the educational system. So it has to do with basically the teaching of critical race theory. The superintendent might term it something else, but all the documentation that we've seen on it has to do with critical race theory, which basically teaches that there's institutional bias that's in favor of white folks, and that African Americans are specifically targeted and oppressed by white people. And then you have a group that's vehemently disagrees with that, and that premise being taught in the schools. And what you have right now because of that is a huge conflict within the county.
Before you started investigating the case, had you heard about this conflict? Were you familiar with this brewing?
Not really. I mean, I knew I started hearing about this concept of critical race theory did not realize exactly what was going on with the schools. My youngest daughter had graduated 3 years earlier, so it really wasn't anything that I was aware of or paying much attention to, and it just sort of kind of creeped up, kind of evolved. And I think what happened, for the most part, the reason that a lot of this teaching, this information came out about what was being taught in the schools, really had to do with the pandemic and parents being able to see what was being taught in the classrooms or actually online because their kids were at home as a result of the pandemic. So they could see what was going on with the teachers, and obviously when that started coming to light, had a lot of concerns and questions about this.
When your office got the call about a case to investigate, can you kind of go through when someone was briefing you and was telling you what was going on? What was that like? What were they saying?
So the group, there was a Facebook group, a closed Facebook group that had about 600 members or so to it. And it was a group that was called the Anti-Racist Parents of Loudoun County. That was started in September 2020. And that was basically to promote and facilitate this idea of inequity, between mostly between whites and African Americans, but just people of color, other people of color. So from September to December, there really wasn't much going on in that until in September when the school system hired a firm to come in and look into racial disparities and institutional bias, and then they also hired an equity collaborative. So they spent $500,000 to hire this group to look at inequities in the teaching of this particular topic, and then they also hired yet another person to facilitate that as well. And that's, I think, when things started really starting to move along. And this particular group was really trying to promulgate this idea of critical race theory, and they referred to it. The reason I'm referring to it as critical race theory is because that's what they refer to it in all their emails and everything, or their Facebook posts that they had there. So they're promulgating this thing, and then it's not until March of 2021 that we end up getting reports on. People that are saying, hey, wait a minute, it looks like they're targeting us. They're trying to identify people that don't agree with this premise, and they want to try to expose who we are, identify, harass us, and that sort of thing.
So there's a Facebook group of people, we don't know at this point who they are, promoting the ideas behind critical race theory.
That's right.
That is now targeting parents who disagree with teaching that?
That's right. So there was an active effort on the part of the people that were part of this anti-racist Parents of Loudoun County to target people that didn't agree with them. Okay, and these weren't people that were part of the group. They were people that they were just kind of identifying on their own that disagreed, that they felt would disagree with their particular position. In fact, when we did the investigation, we called these folks. Most of these people were in disagreement with the online learning. There were some that came out and said, no, I disagree with the critical race theory, but a lot of them were really complaining more about the online problem and not their kids not going to school than really complaining about the critical race theory.
How is it that, well, first of all, when they say, when some people felt they were being targeted, what does that mean?
They felt that they were going to be exposed, that their identities were going to be exposed, because on Facebook, and a lot of these are pseudonyms, they don't really have their actual names or aliases that they use on Facebook. And some people actually use their real names, some people don't. But the people that didn't were concerned that they were going to be harassed, that they were going to be threatened from this group just because they disagreed with what the group was talking about. And so that's really where that complaint came in, and that's when we started looking into, like, do we have a crime here? Are these folks being targeted? And it became a little complex for us as to try to get to the bottom of this with regards to, Virginia statutes and even federal law. And I couldn't really go to my Commonwealth attorney because she was part of this group. So I couldn't even get legal advice from our...
She was part of which group?
She was part of the anti-racist Parents of Loudoun County that was looking to, go after, in lack of a better term, the people that disagreed with what they believed in. So it's to me, I think it's what they're trying to do is stifle. This group had their agenda, and what they wanted to do was stifle anybody who disagreed with them, and in some way or another try to go after them, expose them, infiltrate their group. They were trying to collect money in order to try to do a better job at promoting what their side of the story was, the anti-racist Parents of Loudoun County. And they wanted to go after people that were anti-CRT. So there's a lot of anti-this and anti-that. So it's kind of hard to differentiate. But the anti-racist Parents of Loudoun County wanted to expose the people that were anti-critical race theory publicly so that they could basically, I think it was probably to humiliate them, but it never really got that far.
Is that a criminal matter? I'm assuming the parents who felt they were targeted, one or some of those are the ones who filed the complaint.
Yeah, well, we looked into it, and we looked into threats, we looked into harassment, we looked into what the elements of all those different crimes would be and whether or not they met the threshold. So we couldn't go to our Commonwealth's attorney because there was a conflict of interest there. So we had to look and go to outside attorneys, and I even went to a federal attorney to see if there's anything on the federal side that we might be able to charge these folks with. And what happened was you had the group that was like the anti-racist parents of Loudoun County that were targeting the anti-CRT group. And so the communications started getting a little tense back and forth, but nothing really rose to the level of or met the threshold of what we needed to do any kind of a criminal charge on this. And we were constantly looking for legal advice on this. Well, this was said and that was said, and what about this? We're like, well, you really don't have this element or that element. It was really, we felt it didn't make the threshold for us to charge. And by the way, the charges would just be misdemeanor charges anyhow. So if they're misdemeanor charges and it's something that's not, you know, committed in our presence, even though we're doing an investigation, anybody who believes that there was a criminal charge in there can certainly take that report and go to a magistrate and try to get a warrant, or they can actually pursue it civilly as well. So we went ahead and did everything we could, we felt, on that investigation, and really got down to it. The investigation was extensive. They contacted dozens of people to find out what was said, what they thought, whether they were specifically being targeted, what their complaint was with, was it criminal, was it the anti-racist group that they were going after, or anti-CRT, or were they more upset about the fact that you had all this online schooling going. So there was an extensive amount of work that was done on this because we wanted to see if there was any kind of a chargeable crime on this. And so with all that work that we did, we didn't feel we met the threshold that was required to do the charge. But we went ahead and we concluded their report, and certainly when a report investigation is concluded, people can then FOIA, get a freedom of information and get that report themselves, and then they can make a determination whether they want to go after somebody for any kind of thing civilly that might have been said, or something that might have damaged their reputation, or anything that they feel might be a criminal charge. But it would be their job to then convince a magistrate that happened, that there was enough probable cause there to criminally charge somebody for that.
Have you heard anybody plans to do that?
No, not yet. The report was just released pretty recently, and I believe we've had a couple Freedom of Information requests, yours being one of them, on that. But I haven't seen anything with regards to anybody, you know, yet trying to use that report to take any kind of legal action on anybody.
Who did you find out were the people on this anti-racism Facebook group that was allegedly targeting parents? Instead of CRT, let's say critical race theory, just to make it even plainer.
So the group that was the anti-racist parents of Loudoun County, they, I guess, talked to each other and tried to determine who they thought would be people that they wanted to target, and whether it was to target them to change their minds about this, or to try to get them on their side, or whether it was to call them out and harass them and expose them. They were the folks that were part of this group, that were part of this closed group, that was self, they were, by communicating with themselves, they were identifying who they thought in the community would be good people to go after.
But who are they?
That's the group.
The names.
What you have as far as the anti-racist parents of Loudoun County, what you have in that group, you have members of the community. You have members of the community to include at least one of our board supervisors. You had members of the school board. You had teachers that were part of that group that were trying to, like I said, promulgate the critical race theory mindset and the education of people about institutional racism and the oppression that African Americans sustained as a result of white oppression and all this sort of thing. And so they were the ones who were identifying, took the time to try to identify amongst themselves who they felt would be opposed to that line of thinking. And so what they did was they decided to then try to identify these people. And we got the list of the names, and then we would call these people and say, hey, you've been identified by this group. What are your thoughts on this or that? And like I said, most of those people said, hey, we don't, you know, really don't know necessarily what's even being taught there, but we were more upset. Well, there were some that did, But most of them were just like, hey, we just don't like this online schooling that's going on. So it's really kind of a mix of a lot of things going on here.
Have you ever been involved in an investigation before that has these components with officials from the school board and government and so on forming sort of a secretive or anonymous Facebook group targeting supposedly people who live in the community?
Not like this. Okay, so I've been in this business for 43 years, okay, and basically I look at when we're doing these investigations, we don't take a side, okay? We look at, is there a violation of law, and what do we need to keep the peace, and is there a violation of law? What I'm seeing here in recent history is that there's social agendas that are now controlling or attempting to control law enforcement entities. And fortunately for Loudoun County, I'm an elected official and I answer to everybody out there. I don't answer to any particular group. I'm not responsive to any particular group. We take in all kinds of information and we try to do everything that we can, you know, fair and across the board. Now, I'm conservative, I'm a Republican, but I don't let my politics enter this. We just try to do everything that we can to maintain public safety and allow people to express their First Amendment rights. What concerned me about this investigation was that you had people that were wanted to actually expose people that disagree with them who were just exercising their First Amendment rights. So you have people that are targeting folks. It's okay for them to express what they want to do and promulgate the critical race theory, but if you disagree with that, we want to target, we want to expose you, and we want to get you out there so people, you know, so maybe identify you as a racist, you know. And so this is weird. I've never been, I mean, we've always dealt with criminal law. I've always dealt with if somebody violates the law. I mean, we have options, which includes arresting people, but I've never seen such politically charged concerns come up in law enforcement like they have over the past year. Obviously a lot had to do with George Floyd's death and all that, and that really brought a focus on the law enforcement. But you have I've never seen in my lifetime anything like this where legal issues now are becoming social issues. There's this conflation of things that really are kind of independent of each other, and our job is to enforce law and the U.S. Constitution and try to maintain the peace. That's what we do, and we try to do it impartially. We want to do it fairly. We want to treat everybody. I mean, we've had probably a dozen Black Lives Matter rallies in Loudoun County, okay? And we covered those, and just to make sure that they were peaceful, and we had not a single incident of any kind of an issue there. We just wanted to make sure that people were allowed to exercise their First Amendment rights. So we cover anything that we think could create like a problem in a community, and generally we don't have any problems, but we try to get the information regardless of what side you're on, just so long as anybody who's exercising a First Amendment right can do it peacefully.
As a law enforcement professional, these conflicts are now coming up about critical race theory in school systems across the country. What are some of your thoughts, not as a perspective of a parent, but what are some of your thoughts as a law enforcement professional as you see these conflicts arising around the country?
I think law enforcement has to stick with what we do. And I think the problem that I see and what I see in a lot of these conflicts, and a lot of this has to do with the nature and the government structure and the nature of the enforcement. So we're the largest full-service sheriff's office in Virginia. I'm elected, even though we have like county police chiefs all around us, from Maryland to, you know, here in Northern Virginia, Fairfax, Prince William, and all that. And those particular counties are governed by boards of supervisors, who and their chiefs are hired by boards of supervisors, by mayors, by county executives, and they're brought in there, and then there's this this obligation for the people that hold those jobs to basically answer to the folks that hired them and to be on the same sheet of music, where and it really puts a lot of these law enforcement professionals in very awkward situations. I mean, you can't look, when you look at what happened last year, you look at Portland and you look at Seattle and these chiefs, as educated and as talented as they are, they can't do their job. They can't enforce the law because they got mayors saying, no, you're not going to do this, you're not going to enforce this, you're not going to enforce that. the beauty of the situation that we have here in Loudoun County is that even though I work with the board, we explain what we're doing, we give them quarterly reports, we give them daily reports on what we're doing, I don't answer to them, I answer to the public in general. And that's really where we have such a huge differentiation. And I think it's a great model, honestly, for the nation. I never really thought much about this as I, over the years until really the last couple of years, and I see how important it is to be the direct representative as your top law enforcement official of the people you serve, so you're not answering to any particular agenda or particular partisan group or whatever the case is. You answer to people. Everything that we do here, I've got to make sure that I do it fair and equitably, equally to everybody in the county, and that's the way we try to handle ourselves.
Can you give me a thumbnail sketch of what the socio-demographic texture of Loudoun County is for people who aren't familiar with this part of Virginia?
So we're about 70% white. We're about 30% some type of minority. We have about 8% African-American population. I think the next largest population is the Hispanic population. I don't think it's 12 or 14%, and then the remainder is going to be Asian population, which would be anybody from the Middle East to the Far East would be considered the Asian population. So demographically, 70% white, but people seem to like what we're doing here, and our approval ratings are actually, they're far greater than the counties themselves. We usually hover in around 90% approval rating from the citizens that we serve. And just coincidentally, and you don't have to put this on the camera, but Loudoun now, I was just voted the favorite public servant of Loudoun County here. So, and it's interesting because we have a board of supervisors in a county that's merging blue, and I'm one of the few standing countywide Republicans left. So it's kind of for me to find that out last week was like kind of stunning to me, you know. But so I think people.
Well, demographically, is this county? Was it Republican? Is it becoming more Democrat in nature?
Yeah, when I first came on as sheriff, the entire board of supervisors was Republican. I ran as a Republican, I still am, and the entire board of supervisors. Then the next time around, it got a little bit more mixed, and now it's majority Democrats, 6-3 Democrats on the board of supervisors. So it has gone. It is moving that direction. It's going from what was solid red when I first came on the job to majority blue, not solid blue, but majority blue. So again, I'm one of the few standing conservatives left in the county, countywide. And I would say the success that we have as an agency is because we try to stay away from politics. We just try to do our job. We try to keep the peace and enforce the law. That's what we're charged to do, and we want to do that just fairly across the board.
Is there, this dispute is not over. Is there a lesson in all of this or a takeaway when other people are looking at what's going on in Loudoun County right now? I'm focusing mostly on critical race theory.
I would say what concerns me is this agenda of putting out what you want and attacking people that don't agree with that. And it's like everybody has, we have the right to disagree. We have the right to be for one thing or another or for nothing at all. We all have those rights to do that. And what concerns me about this is this notion that we're facilitating this particular agenda, and that if you don't agree with that, we're coming after you. And that I don't like, you know. And I mean, it's like no matter what side you're on this, it's like everybody has their right to say what they want. I mean, that's your First Amendment. It's your constitutional right to express what you want to express. And I see that this, what you hear often is cancel culture. If you disagree with what the narrative is, what the either local or national narrative is, people are going to attack you, and they're going to call you this, they're going to call you that. It's like, no, you're just disagreeing. You have a right to disagree. You have a right to be for something. You have a right to be against something. That's the beauty of this country. That's the beauty of our Constitution that gives you those rights to do that. And that's what concerns me here when you're talking about law enforcement, because now it's getting beyond simply enforcing the law and keeping the peace. Now we're getting into these positions where you have politicians that are trying to influence where law enforcement stands on these issues, and it's really concerning to me. And so So the, like I mentioned, the benefit that I have is as an elected official is I don't answer to any of those folks. We answer to the public at large. And anything that we do, it's on me. I mean, as an agency, it's on me. If we make a mistake, I get all the blame. Okay. If we do something good, I get the credit. So, it's kind of an unusual situation. But I think it's good because the citizens have more of a say in what's going on law enforcement wise. Their concerns, we entertain everybody's concern. We respond. I get them all the time online, everything else. I get just about every complaint that comes in. So we're always trying to be responsive to the citizens that we serve. So, and it does concern me that you have all these political agendas now that are now driving the process of law enforcement, and it shouldn't be that way. We need to be able to do our jobs, enforce the law, keep the peace, and use our judgment out there and use our training.
You touched on this, but there are some who are saying, no, we're not teaching critical race theory, and that's a fallacy. But you said in documents that you saw that's how they're discussing. What types of things were being said in emails that made you say this is about critical race theory?
Well, the fact in the emails that they clearly talked about, you know, trying to expose people that disagreed, that were anti-CRT. So they themselves in the documents call critical race theory. Now, the school may... the superintendent or somebody else may brand it something else and call it something else, but the catch-all for that is critical race theory, and they use that themselves, you know, within our investigation, within the documents that we saw. So they might call it something else now because I think it's the whole concept of critical race theory is now really getting people at a fever pitch, and I think so they may be trying to brand it as something else, but they themselves, the people that were promoting this anti-racist Parents of Loudoun County group, themselves were calling it critical race theory. So that's why I'm calling it critical race theory, because they are, you know, in their documents.
After a short break, we'll hear from Loudoun County School Superintendent Scott Ziegler. Do you have something to say and want to make your own podcast? Let me tell you how to do that for free with Anchor. Anchor has creation tools that let you record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer. You can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more places. And you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's all you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Here now is Loudoun County School Superintendent Scott Ziegler.
When it comes to the debate and discussions that are happening over critical race theory, what is sort of your overview takeaway that you would want people to know before I get into some specific questions?
Sure. So we have been saying loudly and clearly for months that Loudoun County Public Schools does not teach critical race theory. It's not part of our curriculum. It's not part of it's not part of our in-services for teachers. It's just not something that we spend a lot of time with here in Loudoun County Public Schools. What we do spend time on is looking at our issues that we've had in the past. And so I'm sure you know that we've had issues in Loudoun County with some racially charged incidents that we've had to deal with. And so we've had some very tough conversations. We've had some training with our teachers. To show them how to better deal with issues of race, to better have conversations with students, and to better create a welcoming, affirming, and safe environment for all of our students.
We were at the meeting where the scuffle broke out. Can you just describe from your viewpoint, I wasn't there, this crew was there, what was happening there, what happened?
Well, there was some members of the public who came. It appeared to me as if they were intent on disrupting the meeting. There were several smaller disruptions, which the chair very wisely issued, I think, three warnings to the audience that the decorum of the boardroom would be maintained. And then some individuals decided not to maintain the decorum of the boardroom. And as a result, the board chair and the entire board decided to move the agenda and end public comment.
So you're saying critical race theory is not taught in Loudoun County schools. Do you have an issue with critical race theory? Do you support or oppose it?
I don't have any thoughts on really critical race theory at all. Critical race theory is an academic endeavor that is reserved for law school. And so it's not a topic that we talk about. It's not a topic that I study. We have some of our administrators who have studied it as part of their own personal professional development, but it was never brought on board in Loudoun County. And I think one of the things that I have noticed is critical race theory in the general public discussion has been turned into this monolith where issues of diversity and equity and opportunity are all put under this monolith of critical race theory. And I think it's sad because it doesn't allow us to have open conversations about our needs in equity and diversity and providing a welcoming, safe, and affirming environment for all of our students, because critical race theory has been turned into this curse word, if you will, that encompasses things that it was never intended to encompass.
So I looked at, there is a receipt, as you know, like an invoice that shows Loudoun County hired the Equity Collaborative, mm-hmm. and it specifically says on there critical race theory development discussions with mm-hmm. staff. What is that about?
So we have a group of administrators who attended a webinar. I'm not sure who put on the webinar, and they heard this term, critical race theory, and they said, I think we need to know more about it. And as I said, it's an academic endeavor. So for an administrator to look at something from a purely academic standard is appropriate. And so they enlisted the help of the Equity Collaborative to help them explore that topic as part of their own professional development.
With taxpayer money.
With taxpayer money, but it's, of course it's with taxpayer money. We're a tax-funded school board. But we study a lot of things. Our folks go to school. We do all kinds of professional development. But just because a receipt says critical race theory, that's not evidence of indoctrination. That's not evidence of implementation. That's evidence of exploration. So we can explore a lot of ideas, and we take the ones that are helpful and we reject the ones that are not.
So it sounds like you're saying if they were presented with material that was not appropriate for the schools, it's not as though that's automatically incorporated
exactly.
into their views.
Exactly.
And I'm asking that because I looked at the slides of the Equity Collaborative when I saw this just to see, and there are some things on there. There's one thing, I don't even know what this means. It says whiteness can be viewed as a property right. It says things such as white people cannot act in anything other than their own self-interest. It says judging only by the color of their skin, white people have these certain negative characteristics, which all would seem to be sort of a standard definition of racism, looking at it that way.
So I'm not familiar with the slides that you described, so it's difficult for me to react to them. But those ideas that you just said are not part of our program here in Loudoun County Public Schools.
Why do you think critical race theory has become, as you said, a curse word, such a visceral reaction for so many parents?
I think it's largely due to the politicalization of issues and to distract, I think, sometimes from real work that's going on, real necessary work that's going on. I know out of the Manhattan Institute, I think Chris Rufo is his name, had a statement a while ago, and I'll paraphrase, it won't be exactly right, but he said something like, we need to take everything that we don't like that's going on socially and put it under this umbrella of critical race theory. And so I think, as I said, everything that's been put under that umbrella has been used to bring emotion, to rile up a voting base, to bring a distraction from other issues. So I think it's been the politicalization of equity work and the unfair broadening and application of that term, critical race theory.
So in this county, how would you describe the state of affairs today, or sort of the environment? Where do we stand with disputes and discussions over this? I know there's recall efforts underway for some school board members. A criminal investigation just finished with no charges over that whole online Facebook, you know, group and so on. How would you tell people what's happening in this county right now if you had to describe it?
So what's happening in this county is a lot of good, right? So we have as you said, you started the interview by saying Loudoun County has become the center of this debate that represents a larger debate in the nation. And it's unfortunate that that news is what makes the news, because there's a lot of good things happening in Loudoun County. We were the only school division in the country, I believe, that opened a high school during the pandemic. And that high school came together and became a community, even though they were separated by distance. We had a high school, Freedom High School, that graduated 100% of the seniors that started with us in September graduated with us in June. That's unheard of. I've been in education for 30 years. I haven't heard of a 100% graduating class. We're doing great things at the elementary school level, at the middle school level. We have, I think, three or four middle schools that are middle schools of distinction and middle schools to watch, which is a national recognition. So there are good things happening in Loudoun County. And when I talk to students, they're really impressed with the work that we're doing in Loudoun County, and they like the direction their school division is heading.
I understand and accept that you're saying there's no critical race theory academic curriculum going on in the school. The sheriff who investigated and came up with no charges against anybody after looking at the Facebook group and so on, he said that the emails from the group, including school board members and so on that were part of it, specifically discussed, they called it critical race theory, and they wanted to identify parents who were against it, and they wanted to press that agenda, whatever it is. So are you concerned about that in light of the fact that this is not the agenda you want, you know, in the schools itself being taught to the kids?
So I'm not familiar with the investigation. I'm not familiar with the documents that you've seen. I've never been on that group in Facebook, so I really couldn't comment on anything that has to do with that group.
Would it be something that should come to your attention if it turns out that there's a strong network of school-related academic people who do want to press critical race theory at a time when the school system's trying to send the message, we're not teaching that?
So that's a conclusion that you're drawing based on a group that happens on Facebook totally outside of Loudoun County Public Schools. I think it's an unfair comparison, and it's an unfair hypothetical, because you're saying, hey, this is happening on Facebook. What if it happens in Loudoun County Public Schools? It's not happening in Loudoun County Public Schools. We have a group of dedicated professionals that have really been treated unfairly in the press and demonized in the press. Our staff, our administrative staff, our teachers, our custodians, our bus drivers are about making Loudoun County Public Schools the very best place that it can be for all of our students. So I think the hypothetical is really unfair.
That was Loudoun County School Superintendent Scott Ziegler. There's a lot more in my cover story report on Sunday, October 3rd on Full Measure. To find out where to watch on a TV station near you, you can go to CherylAckison.com and click the Full Measure tab at the top. It'll tell you where you can watch. If you don't have a station near you, or if it's more convenient, you can always watch live or replays at fullmeasure.news online, fullmeasure.news. It plays live at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time, and then the segments are posted there after it airs on TV, usually by noon Eastern Time on Sundays. You can watch last week's program, in fact, right now at fullmeasure.news. We also have a free app called Stirr, S-T-I-R-R. You can download and watch live or on demand anytime, and they have a lot of other cool programming that's free, movies and entertainment and local news. The news as we once knew it no longer exists. It's become a product molded and shaped to suit the narrative. Facts that don't fit are omitted. Off-narrative people and views are controversialized or neatly deposited down the memory hole. My new book, Slanted, How the News Media Taught Us to Love Censorship and Hate Journalism, is filled with important context regarding the death of the news as we once knew it. Pick up your copy of Slanted today. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Check out my other podcast, the Cheryl Ackison Podcast, wherever you like to listen. Leave a great review if you like the podcast and share it with your friends. Do your own research, make up your own mind, think for yourself.